Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Every month, at the end of the month, it keeps going up, and they cut you off, and want you to pay. Come to find out, your light was off all day. Oh, it's a damn shame. BPL so cool, they swing me, they swing you. Oh, it's a damn shame. Still using fossil fuel, big old sun, they won't use. Your light bill is a mortgage payment, and that right there don't make
good
sense.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 10th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green on the Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. As we await Mr. Sawyer's arrival, we will get the show started. Of course, we started the show with my campaign song. Everybody have campaign song. That's my campaign song. Thank you, Solo Maid. He didn't make it for me. He made it for all of us. But I am adopting it. I think it's the most important campaign song in this by-election and convention election season. A good morning. One thing is certain, summer has gone away. It's definitely a chill in the air. And there's Christmas music everywhere. We're heading into the Christmas season. So let's start the show with our Sand Dollar live read. The Sand Dollar team is headed to Long Island, November 14th through 17th. On Tuesday, November the 14th, at 6 p.m., you can learn about the digital Bahamian dollar at the community meeting held at NGM Major High School. On Wednesday, November the 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can experience the Sand Dollar when you attend the team's top-up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. Download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart and get $5 back on exit. Merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email to sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. Well, we've got some Major League Baseball news, we've got NBA news, we've got NFL news, and then, of course, we've got all sorts of local sports stories to talk about today. Whenever Mr. Sawyer tarries, I'm tempted to talk regular news, but we've got lots of sports to talk about and lots of local sports to cover. So I'm going to keep that Goldwyn story for later, maybe Monday. So let's get going. First story of the morning. The Bahamas finishes with three medals at Pan Ams. The Bahamas picked up a silver and bronze at the 19th Pan American Games in Santiago, Chile over the weekend, ending the multi-sport event with three total medals, one silver and two bronze, and in a three-way tie with Guyana and Haiti for 25th in the medal standings. Both of the Bahamas' medals over the weekend came in athletics, turning in medal performances at the Coliseo del Estadio Nacional Julio Martinez in Santiago were Rima Otaboa in the women's javelin and Donald Thomas in the men's high jump. For Rima, it was her first medal on the senior side at a multi-sport event. She won the silver medal in the women's javelin, and Thomas won a bronze in the men's high jump in athletics, and the other bronze medal came from Lamar Taylor in the men's 50-meter free in swimming. Taylor finished third in that event in a national record time of 22.13 seconds. The Bahamas had 20 athletes competing in six disciplines at the Games: tennis, sailing, swimming, athletics, golf, and wrestling. And just a note, this year's Games, we featured our first golfer, our first golfer, our first competitor in golf. And you can read all of those stories in the Nassau Guardian online. Another quick story. This is a great one. Reloaded Kids pre-approved for Perfect Game Series Texas Challenge. This story is in the Nassau Tribune. Tatum Brown and Frederick Anderson III, who participated on one of our first travel ball teams this past summer, have been invited and pre-approved to participate in the Perfect Game 2023 Series Texas Challenge at Big League Dreams, League City, Texas, December 27th through 31st. Reloaded has sparked a lot of international interests since our travel ball trip to the Perfect Game tournament this past summer. And we intend to tap into all of these resources in the pursuit of development to international standards for our Reloaded Kids. We will not be deterred in this pursuit, as good is never enough, as we are developing tomorrow's leaders. We've had Reloaded, the baseball development organization, on Guardian a couple of times already, easily. And this is an example of what they have touted, what they've been talking about their program. It is a developmental program. So you could be a member of another baseball team or club and participate in Reloaded's activities and events. And these two young athletes, Tatum Brown and Frederick Anderson III, have taken advantage of that opportunity and have been pre-approved to participate in the Perfect Game 2023 Series Texas Challenge. These are very, very young athletes. I mean, these guys got to be maybe 10, 11, maybe even a little younger than that. Way to go, gentlemen, way to go. Here's another story in today's Tribune. QC graduates sign on athletic scholarships. I will declare my bias up front. I am a QC Comet alum. It was a dream come true for Blue Chips Athletics Club javelin throwers Jishan Brown and Caden Cartwright. The two Queens College 2023 graduates signed their names on the dotted line for their athletic scholarships yesterday at Empire Fitness Gym to attend Mississippi State University in August. They became the 12th and 13th athletes from the Blue Chips Athletics, headed by Coach Corrington Maycock. Since the club was formed in 2016, Maycock, who was assisted by Laquelle Harris, told the rest of the younger members and parents that they will continue their mandate to get their athletes off to college when the time comes. It's an excellent story. Sports on the move, and sports as a vehicle is definitely moving people ahead, young people ahead. Jishan Brown. For Brown, the environment and coaching staff at Miss State was exactly what tipped the scales in her making the decision for college. For Caden Cartwright said he was pretty excited and happy when he got the news that he achieved the scholarship. He said all the hard work paid off, and now he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to worry his parents about any school money for the next 4 years. Caden, I'm going to suggest you retract that last comment. Not the pretty excited and happy. Not the all the hard work paid off part. And not even the worry. But you're going to need a little extra money over the next 4 years. But What I like most of all is your spirit and your commitment. You're telling us from now you're going to maintain that scholarship for the whole 4 years. Congratulations, Caden. Congratulations, Miss Brown. Another quick story. BAAA's National High School Cross Country Championships at Fort Charlotte, November the 25th. In collaboration with the Ministry of Education, Science, and Technology, the Bahamas Association of Athletic Associations will hold its National High School Cross Country Championships at the refurbished Fort Charlotte on Saturday, November 25th. As a mandate of President Dromico Archer, Committee Chairman Foster Dawson said, they are committed to putting on one of the best championships, which Ministry of Education sports consultant Floyd Ambrister said the ministry fully supports. This is going to be good. I wish Mr. Sawyer was here so I could look him in his face and tell him I can be at the cross country championships competing, because running out is my best discipline. Running out, definitely. Another story, Bahamas water polo team off to Corifta with a chance to compete with some additional teams from the Florida area. The Bahamas will join three other teams from the Caribbean to participate in the 2023 Under-14 Co-Ed Corifta Water Polo Championships. The Bahamas' team, led by Coach Lottie Borbally, left town yesterday and will compete today and Saturday at the Bellin Jesuit Preparatory School in Miami, Florida. Team Bahamas will be represented by Isaiah Colon, Peyton Burrows, Joyelle Brown, Jamar Bien-Ami, Chelsea Smith, Shantero Knowles, Jaden Smith, Landon Sumner, Jamal Wilson, India Jones, Jaden Jones, Lamaya Bodie, Asha Bastian, Jacob Johnson, and Kaylin Brown. With only a few countries competing in water polo, in the aftermath of COVID-19, Borbally said they agreed to take the event to Miami so that they can get in more games with some high-level competition from teams in Florida. Quote, we will have the Corifta games between our teams, and we will also get to compete against the teams out of Florida, said Borbally of the competition expected between Trinidad and Tobago, Curaçao, and Bonaire. We feel very confident that the teams will perform very well. I got to go to page 14. I really like this story, not because what all water polo is water parking, and we should excel at it, but we should be participating in all water sports. I see I got a call on the line. Let me stick a pin. We can get right back to the water polo story. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Well, I do. I hope you and everybody is fine out there on the bottom of the line.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
You know, when it comes to sports, sometimes I wonder why they don't do the ratings. Like you said, we came third in this last event that we took part in,
mm-hmm.
with Haiti and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder why they don't do it per capita. I believe we'll be first all the time, you know.
Without a doubt.
Because I don't think it's fair to say we come third with a tie with Haiti. They got 11 million people to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We only got 700,000. I know you can say it's four, right?
No, no. What I was going to say was, the opponents to your position, right?
Mm.
What they would say is, but the Bahamas is what, like income per capita, the amount of money that we have access to advantages us or disadvantages Haiti, right? Like there are other ways to look at it where other people would say, but the Bahamas has an unfair advantage and should be performing or producing at this level, given the resources it has available to them locally and through the networks that they've created globally.
Okay, like when we say the Bahama Games,
mm-hmm.
majority of the populations of the Bahamas live in New Providence.
Yeah.
Majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to the Bahama Games, They say, oh, the island you're from, you got to be on the Elutra team.
Well,
because you're from Elutra, although you live in New Providence.
They relaxed the rules this year.
See, they relax things when they want to relax things.
But, because the pandemic forced and Dorian caused a forced resettlement, right, of people. They tried to transplant to other islands, and so they relaxed the rules this year.
I disagree with you. I know that happened around Dorian.
Yeah.
And around the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But people were coming from the islands before all of them happened.
Right, migration
majority of the people in New Providence, and I said majority. I could always say, I born in Chippenham.
Yeah.
My mother born in Camp Road. My father born in the Western District of New Providence. They born on this island.
You know,
but majority even of our leaders and our representatives, they came from Cat Island and Elutra and mm-hmm. Long Island and Abaco and Spanish Reyes. Most of them came from other islands and they came into New Providence.
Sparky, thank you.
You understand what I'm coming
from? I got you. Migration is a big part of the discourse. It has to be considered. I got another caller, Sparky, but I will leave you with this idea that you gave me just now. Thank you very much. Right? And this is what it is. You see what you said about the migration of peoples. You know what would be great for the 2023, the 2026? In fact, we need to revisit that 3-year 2026. We can't have the Bahama Games and an election in the same year. Right? We have to figure that out. How are we going to do that? But we should have a project, a genealogy project. We got 2 to 4 years between now and the next Bahama Games, where we create family trees so that people could trace their family tree and know what island they come from. That would be a great companion project for the Bahama Games. In fact, what you talked about, Sparky, is needed. It ain't just a companion project. It's needed. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
There's nothing wrong.
Yes.
With having Bahama Games and elections in the same year.
You sure?
I kindly beg to differ there.
Okay.
Honestly.
All right.
Morning.
Morning, sir. I'm just thinking about logistics and the ability of the state to stretch its resources and then the tenuousness, right? Because when you come to election time, this is the biggest issue. When you come to election time, appointees to committees and in any agency or spot and consultants, they are required, I think through parliamentary convention, they're required to tender their resignation once.
That's true. So you have the Bahama Games first, as well.
But this way,
first, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
If we won Bahamas, then now we could go and have us in a democratic election and move on.
There you go.
We can do it all in 1 year.
Absolutely.
Do it all in 1 year, man. For sure.
There you go. So, Mr. Sawyer, water polo.
Polo.
We're sending them abroad.
I heard. You know, we like you said earlier, we're good at porking. And God knows we're surrounded by water, so we should be able to swim. You can swim? You still can swim?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, good. So, you know, shouldn't be a big never mind.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That great things from our team, you know, I mean, in terms of just savviness in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted now, they're going abroad. These people eat steroids for breakfast. So hopefully, you know, and the opposing teams aren't too big.
Right. They have the body, but hopefully they don't have so much body that we can't compete.
Right.
Team.
Right, you know, they don't have the stamina.
Yeah, be looking at Team Bahamas in the under-14 co-ed Carifta Water Polo Championships. First of all, co-ed, I love it. Girls could park just as well as boys. In the water, definitely, like the water equalizes.
Right, exactly. It is a good equalizer, so you won't have that issue as it relates to people feeling as though men are going to be bigger and they can be able to get the ball faster.
Yeah.
And there won't be any chance for the girls to get an opportunity to score or to even defend.
Yeah. But I wish I could get TV coverage of this. We want to say thank you to St. John's and University of the Bahamas for allowing the team to train in their swimming pools. And good luck and Godspeed.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Most definitely.
They're going to have...
Most definitely. Where St. John's and that pool and use every so often, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. There are all kinds of sports stories. Oh, boy. Well, that was Mr. Eric Sawyer III. I imagine he is on his way into studio. He better get here before I start talking NFL, because when I get on to the NFL, I'm ragging the 49ers. Look at how the 49ers and the Sardines, the Dolphins, are in the same ranking. Dear Dolphins fans, don't get mad at me. I love Sardines. I love it, I love it, I love it. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, I've got some more local sports stories. I mean, we got tons of local sports stories today, and then we're going to transition into some international sports. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We await the arrival of Mr. Eric Sawyer III, and of course, the arrival of all of my NFL fans that need to set the record straight. I say Dolphins are going to the playoffs this year, and once they get to the playoffs, anything is likely to happen. Any given Sunday, Dolphins could be champions. You guys, we're going to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And it's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III on the clock. Quick text, nothing wrong with big games and tournaments around election time. Caesar used it all the time to swing the people, I was about to say. Listen, turns out that y'all trying to make swinging an Olympic sport in the Bahamas. Listen, guys, we got to stop being so susceptible to scams and shady dealings. Now, I'm not saying that everything out there is a scam or a shady dealing. I'm just saying that sometimes we need to apply a bit more, not just critical thinking, but emotional intelligence and personal discipline to ensure that we are not being taken advantage of. Another headline, three champions crowned in GSSA volleyball. There were three teams that avoided going to a game three in their best of three volleyball championship series in the Government Secondary School Sports Association last night at the Kendall G. Isaacs National Gymnasium. Winning titles last night, the Anatole Rogers Timberwolves in the senior boys, the C.V. Bethel Stingrays in the senior girls, and the H.O. Nash Lions in the junior boys. The only division that is going to a third game is the junior boy. It's the junior boys. We're just going to turn in the Guardian to page 15. The senior boys saw a sweep completed by the Timberwolves over the C.I. Gibson Rattlers. The Stingrays beat the Government High Magic, and L.W. Young lost to the H.O. Nash Lions. The junior boys division saw the Golden Eagles against the Timberwolves, and they are 1-1. And they, I think they continue play today. Game three is set for today. Congratulations to all the volleyball champions. Lots in local news. SAC Junior Girls clinch spot in BAISS Softball Championships. That's in this week's Tribune. On the day one playoff results, Junior Girls SAC defeated St. Anne's 31-11. Senior Girls QC defeated St. John's 11-1. In the Junior Boys, NCA defeated St. Anne's 10-0. Senior Boys, NCA defeated Kingsway 13-8. These are some lopsided scores, but the games continue. Producer, let's go to this caller. Get this caller in. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, boy.
He is on his way in. Don't mind, you don't hear his voice.
Alright, why did he get disconnected by BTCO?
I don't know by who, sir. I don't want to call their name. Lest they say I'm making fun of them.
But BTC is by I could call BTC Dave. I pay the bill on BTC. They done it, they get it.
There you go.
Good morning to BTC. Anyway,
in fact, pause right there. Good morning to everybody at BTC. Working hard. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, I want to say hello to I saw a lovely lady working on the union, Sherry Benjamin.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a place. Yeah, morning, Sherry. Yeah, you don't talk football.
Well, not
quite. Dolphin look good. I know I don't saw your boy in here right now.
Yeah, I want to run through a couple more local sports stories, man.
Right, but you mentioned something that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the main reasons I pumped to call in.
Yeah, yeah.
Election and Bahama game.
Yeah.
I like the combination.
Why?
Well, you know, me being a strong political component for the majority rule party, my party.
Yeah.
That's what showcased what we have done and showcased how we continue to let the people know we care about them more with the Bahama game. We brought the Bahama game back.
You mean the PLP?
Yes.
Okay, because see, for me, I wouldn't take that risk. I wouldn't take that risk because that means that you will have had two Bahama games within your administration.
Yes, ma'am.
And the first one was great in the sense that, we hadn't done it in 20 years.
That's right. We celebrate the
contribution of the athletes, right? Mm-hmm. But it was lackluster. It was not up to par for the 50th independence, for the Golden Jubilee. So to take the risk.
But it came with the Jubilee, though.
Pardon?
It sank right in with the Golden Jubilee.
You think so?
Yeah, because it was in honor of Peter Better, the one who discovered Bahama Games.
You know, that's beautiful. But a large part of the budget for the Bahama Games disappeared because, and I don't mean in a nefarious way, but because the independence celebrations suck up all the money.
Which disappear more? The one that what's going on now in court or the one?
No, I ain't talking about that pumpkin either. I say that.
I understand. That's pulling your leg at the same time.
Good thing, but I just want these people to know we're talking about the independent secretariat's celebrations. It felt like it sucked up all of the resources that had been allocated for events that had been put on the table prior to that. And so if I were the PLP, I wouldn't run the risk.
I definitely would not, because a lot of local vendors benefited greatly with the Bahama game coming back.
Yeah, no.
That's like the real game. You know, the game coming back would be demolished by the former government coming back next year, 2024.
I got you, but these events are not opportunities for political parties to put money.
No, it's opportunity for the people, the local people, the vendors.
In their supporters' like hands, and we could have those. We could have these events at any time of the year. You suggesting that posting it close to an election is beneficial, or let me not say you suggesting it.
I don't think
you
have to be any time of the year. They're real good. They have to be scheduled based on the national schedule.
Look here, let me run through a couple more stories.
But I'm going to correct that, though.
What's that?
It can't happen any time of the year. That's not our decision. That's an international decision.
What's that?
Bahama game is different. I talk about now, you're going with the real game coming up next week, next year, and also...
No.
The swimming being hosted here from the Carissa.
Yeah.
They can't be hosted any time.
They better get the stadium ready. Pumpkin Eater, let me...
Well, it'll be ready. You mean the swimming stadium?
I mean all of it. Pumpkin Eater.
We'll send a reporter. You need a reporter to wake on it right now as I speak. Have a good day.
You won't send a reporter. They better send the contractors to start waking on it. You know, this lack of coordination with the sporting world has detrimentally impacted a number of programs in the country. That's why we have to ensure that even though Sports in Paradise is a government Ministry of Tourism initiative, we have to make sure that all of the elements of government are on the same page, because an incident like this, and I do call it an incident, right, like this, threatens to destabilize tremendous effort, energy, and achievements, right, by stakeholders, local, regional, and international partners. The lenders game, the college ball bowl game, that will be in, I think, in North Carolina for this year and then will return to the Bahamas. The BFA and all of the international competitions hosting Guyana, hosting Antigua and Barbuda. I'm not sure if Curaçao is coming here to play. All of those things have been disrupted, right? And disrupted with no finite timeline, no concrete, clear, or transparent policy statements about the initiative to repair the stadium. Let's get moving. Bahamas Youth Flag Football League action continues. Bahamas Youth Flag Football League wrapped up its third week of action on Saturday as it continues its regular season on the grounds adjacent to the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The 14 through 17 year age group saw Team Monroe, Team D'Angelo, Team Shavar, and Team Allen battling it out. It was Team Allen, Team Moss, Team Monroe, and Team Kevin in the 10 to 13-year-old division. And there were three games on tap in the 6 to 9-year age group with Team Sheldon, Team Ian, and Team Dawkins. Action continues this coming Saturday at the same location at 11 a.m. Another quick story before we transition. BLTA hosts regional training camp at National Tennis Center. The BLTA is current, that's the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association, is currently hosting a regional camp at the National Tennis Center that features under 14 players from the English-speaking countries in the Confederation of Central America and the Caribbean. That's the COTECC. The camp is led by expert tutor John Goad, the developmental officer for the Caribbean. There are players from the Bahamas, Curaçao, Barbados, St. Lucia, and Trinidad and Tobago. The camp started on Tuesday and wraps up today. Goad said that the camp is going good so far as the players are easy to coach. One of the seven Bahamians attending the camp is Ayai Bethel, who hails from Eleuthera. Kazia Fluonia, who hails from Curaçao, is coming off winning the 14 and under division in the Curaçao Junior Masters earlier this month and is enjoying this experience. Producer, let's go to the phone line. I want to know what's a junior master. I thought masters was for seniors. Now the junior's in the masters. I can't be the junior. I could barely be the senior. Good morning, caller.
All right, sorry about that. Something went wrong with my phone, man. I don't know.
That's all right. I was just about to unleash the chafing, sir.
No problem.
Let's get it started. Major League Baseball, I completely and totally forgot about it. I could be honest with you. I'm a jealous Bahamian. Indo Bahamian was in the World Series. Marlins and Jazz Chisholm, they got kicked out in the first, like in the wild card. Well, they made it in as wild cards. They got kicked out in that first round.
Yeah.
And my heart fell. And in fact, I'm not alone because apparently this World Series was the least watched World Series in television history.
Yeah, because the Rangers lost 100 games 2 years ago. There were two teams that were not slated to make it. Everybody had the Braves and Phillies. Braves, Phillies, Dodgers, they were teams that everybody was looking to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, congratulations goes out to the Rangers. The Rangers were unbeaten on the road. Like, yeah, they lost some games at home, but they weren't beaten at all on the road in the postseason.
Wow.
This year. So, yeah, they won the chip on the road.
And this is their first World Series since...
Ever.
Yeah, since the team was founded in 1961.
Yeah, they were one strike away about 12 years ago from a World Series championship.
Wow.
And, and they never got that strike.
Absolutely.
And they went on to lose.
Wow, absolutely. Congratulations to the Rangers. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's a shame that, you know, this series was the least watched considering the importance, right, of the win for them.
There was some great play, man. There was absolutely great play. But if I'm not watching the team that I want to watch, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, sports fans are jealous, selfish fans. We can get to that
very
in a second,
so.
Sir. Another quick story. Let's turn our heads to NBA. Aiden second in the NBA in rebounding. This was Tuesday, the 7th of November. When Bahamian DeAndre Aiden went to Portland, his words were clear. I bring dominance. My name is Dominatin.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. With that, the Portland Trail Blazers welcomed their new starting center to Rip City.
Rip City, the old name. That's an old Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter and Jerome Kersey name.
Yes, in fact, I wish you were in studio today so you could see me in my Lakers colors.
After that blowout loss the other night, you understand?
We're going to get to that in a second, sir. I got plenty of questions about that. Aiden is back defensively. He is bringing the fire. In fact, there's another story in today's paper about his, I think, performance last night. On the offensive side, he's struggling a little bit. But if he could do it like Rodman, nobody cares if you're not scoring because you're rebounding. He has 10.4 points per game so far and 13.3 rebounds per game, second in the league only to Sabonis of Sacramento Kings, who's averaging 14.2 rebounds per
That's
game.
That's a bonus, son.
Right. So you're talking about the 34 points that the Rockets beat the Lakers by on Wednesday, the November the 8th, right?
I got you.
And I got some questions for you because I focus on that game a little bit. First things first, what I read was that LeBron didn't spend a lot of time in the game.
No, he didn't. Because it's an in-season tournament. It's not a play-in game. It's not the playoffs. It's not the conference finals and the finals that we're accustomed to seeing LeBron play in. This is just a little tournament to have a little trophy that, in the long and grand scheme of things, I mean, the only thing that makes sense about it is these are indeed regular season games. They do count as regular season games. But to win an in-season championship, that's not a banner. That's not a trophy.
That's just something you should do.
Nothing what LeBron is after.
Let me tell you why I have on my Lakers colors today. Because I can tell you, I can say this. Despite the 34-point blowout, right, I still don't think that Brooks redeemed himself or the Rockets could claim this as a, like you say, as a proper win. Couple reasons. LeBron wasn't on the court as much as he should have been.
Didn't play.
And then when LeBron was on the court, he had some fire moments. at 48 seconds left in the first quarter, I thought LeBron was the Flash. And at the 6:40 mark in the third quarter, I was watching the highlights. At the 6:40 mark in the third quarter, he did something. I thought he was 24 again. But he was the biggest man on the court.
Always. Most times.
And the Lakers seem to be running a very small but quick and versatile team.
Especially when AD down right now, he have a left hip contusion or something on those.
Hold on, he have a bruise on his hip?
Yeah, he fell down and bruised it. So,
man, I have to go to work.
My boy is glass bottle, so you know what I do.
You think I could get out of parking if I come to school talk about I have a contusion on my buttocks?
Well, you know, back then in school we were 14.
Yeah.
Oh, contusions go away as soon as lunchtime come around. You get one at break and I go on by lunch.
You done run that out. Did you watch the game?
I watched the highlights. I caught like the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And the game was already handily decided, but
the reason I focus on this game is because boy they raggy LeBron about this game. And so the question I have for you is, it looked like the team played better without LeBron. They played together better without LeBron against that small Rockets team.
Yeah, because, you know, LeBron is indeed the most famous, richest, longest tenured player on the court. Actually, he's the longest tenured player in the NBA currently. He's the oldest player in the NBA currently. So when you're on the court with a living legend, like you, you're 21 years old, right?
Yeah.
LeBron has been in the league 21 years. Now you're in the league, like you're the man, like you born in 2002 and this man is currently on the court.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like this is surreal right here, right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching who I grew up with. Like, you have some fellas right now who will be 30, 29, 30, who will argue with me and tell me Kobe Bryant is the best player that they've ever seen. And you got fellas 10, 15 years older than them in my age bracket who will always say, without a shadow of a doubt, Jordan is the best player ever.
So, yeah.
Then you also have those.
So, yeah, I watched a clip last night where Clyde the Glide mash up Jordan in the game. He shut him down in the game.
Yeah, there are games that Jordan didn't win. Like, you know, I'm the Jordan fanatic out there, and I am indeed a proud one as well. But I'm a realist. Need to understand that Jordan didn't win every game.
Yeah.
He didn't play six seasons for six rings.
Yeah.
He played in the NBA, and he didn't win every year.
So, look here, quick question. When does LeBron become a detriment to the Lakers?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really cannot tell you because he's that cerebral of a player. You know, he already said that the team is indeed the team of 80.
Mm-hmm.
He is not the face of the team. He said at the start of the season.
But 80 can't be the face of the team. We might as well just start talking about NFL. AD can't be the face of the team.
He can't be the face of it because he can't stay healthy.
That's what I'm saying. The Lakers will not make it. In fact, I can tell you this. The Lakers will not make it to the playoffs if LeBron keep on with this AD is the face of the team. But I don't know anything because I pull in for the Dolphins. Let's transition.
Guardians.
I invite you to continue with that talks because I love Guardians.
Hey, listen, I had myself a great birthday weekend. Sardians and them cowgirls lost. It was great. Like,
first of all,
wake up on Sunday.
First of all, I did call you to tell you happy birthday and that the Chiefs cheat. They cheat from they select the Dolphins to go play in the cold Germany.
But see what if y'all did win, know what you're gonna say? Oh, well, you know, we're the best team. We see we beat the champions.
Yeah.
We finally beat a team with a winning record.
I can be honest with you. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Exactly. See, because, you know, the Dolphins, Saurians, y'all have yet to beat a team with a winning record. I don't, y'all scored 70 on the Broncos and can't score.
But how could that be? Hold on, how could that be?
30 on the Bills the following week?
We 5-3. How could it be that we haven't played any winning teams yet, man?
You guys haven't played a team with a winning record as yet.
Okay, I got
you. Y'all haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
I got you.
For the season as yet.
Listen, let's run through quickly last week's team play. Steelers beat the Titans. We knew that 20-16.
Yeah.
Dolphins, of course, not annihilated. They had a good comeback.
They got destroyed. They got destroyed. A win by one, a win by 21, you got destroyed.
They got beat.
Three quarters, the team that scored 7 points this year couldn't score one field goal, not one safety, not nothing.
You heard?
Oh, yeah, y'all shut out the Chiefs in the second half. That's all well and good. Where's your points?
Yes.
You scored, they scored
to warm
in
up
last
earlier.
Quarter, and you scored.
We just needed to warm up earlier. It's a shame we already got beat by the Eagles this year. It's a shame. It's a shame. Now,
yeah, and if I had Adam's apple, she'd have been my uncle.
Sir.
Yeah.
49ers were on bye week last week. This week, you are playing the Jaguars. 6-2 versus 5-3. What are your chances of coming out as the successors?
They're on a 5-game winning streak. Our 5-game winning streak was snapped by the Browns 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We about due for a good win. Good win against a quality team once again.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Williams should be in the lineup. That's our first Robert Hall of Famer starting left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Debo Samuel is going to be back, ready to go. And let's not forget, we just traded for Chase Young. So now, double up Bosa on the left side then. Please, I implore you, double him on the left side and leave Chase Young open. In fact, double the two of them and leave Eric Armstead and leave Mr. Hargrave wide open in the middle. Let's do that.
Well, this is your chance to win something, because this week the Chiefs with 7-2, Dolphins at 6-3, and the Eagles at 8-1 are all in their bye week. They take in a break. So let me ask you a question. Who can beat the Eagles? Who you think at the end of the regular season will have as good as or better record than the Eagles?
Well, they have a record thing, you know, because any given Sunday.
No,
Eagles are 8-1 for a reason. They lost one, you know. And the key to beating the Eagles is to smash them as hard as they smash you, or even harder.
It's all defense.
They play smash them out defense. They even play a little bit of defense on offense. They're not scared to hit. A.J. Brown is a stud of a wide receiver. He's their WR1. So he's receiving the number one spot. And that is, you know, deservingly so. But the only way to beat that team is to hit them as hard.
I got you.
Hitting them out as they hitting you, because they hit hard, sir.
See, I'm not worried, because I think Eagles were, I think coming into the playoffs, they had the best, if not one of the best records for the regular season. But they didn't, that wasn't enough for them to secure a final, to secure the ring. Right, so
they didn't secure the ring because, you know, like what people say to them, Mr. Hannett, that boy Mahomes, that's a bad man. That's a bad man. Like, you beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. We were up by 10 points with 6 minutes left, and they still won the Super Bowl. Of which I let me sit to my stomach for like 3 days. I eat for like 3 days. But that's a bad man. That's when I gain respect for him, because my defense, I have no respect for any other team in the league. None.
Yeah.
None. My defense and my offense, I beaten anybody. If they decide they want to win, God help you, because you ain't going to win.
All right.
Yeah, but when you got Mahomes on your team, you got a chance. Mahomes is the new Brady, and
okay.
That's what it is.
Well, I hope that the Dolphins and the 49ers get a chance to see each other in the playoff season.
That won't happen, because the Dolphins are not going to the Super Bowl.
Man, don't talk about it.
They're not going to the Super Bowl.
Bears versus Panthers last night. Did you catch that game?
Garbage versus trash. Yes.
I
saw a little bit of the game.
That's a rough way to say 3-7 Bears versus 1-7 Panthers.
Yeah. Garbage versus trash.
But the Bears pulled it out 16-13.
Yeah. They're a backup. Backup running back. Anyway, he's a backup either last year with the Panthers or this year with the Bears. He scored a touchdown and won the game.
Okay.
And, you know, other than that, he's a bunch of field goals, punts. Great defense, you know, on both ends, but. You know, in the end, garbage beat trash.
I mean, I guess so. I guess so, sir. One man's trash is another man's...
man's garbage, yeah.
There you go, sir. 16-13 Bears versus Panthers. Just before we go, what game are you looking forward to most outside of your 49ers match up with the Jaguars? Which, by the way, is going to be a tough game.
It's a 1 o'clock game, yeah. It's a very tough game. It's going to be a 1 o'clock game. I'm looking to see C.J. Stroud versus that Cincinnati team that is on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Stroud passed for 400, nearly 500 yards last week. Game winning drive with 46 seconds left down the field. They're going to see what him versus Joe Burrow does. You know, because everybody speaks about Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen versus, I forget who this came out in that draft. But in any event, 2-8. Yeah, 2-0. Justin Herbert. You know, that's what they like to speak about. But that boy, CJ Stroud, is the truth. That boy is the truth. That boy come to play. He came to win. He don't like losing. He just likes the fact that the Panthers didn't pick him for the number one pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. So he got something to prove each and every week that they made a mistake by taking him not at number one.
I got you. But look here. It's week 10. We got week 10 out of 18. At the top of the field, we got the Eagles at 8-1. Then we've got we got a 7-2 team. The Ravens are still at 7-2, right?
But the Ravens, scary boy.
Chiefs are at 7-2. Dolphins at 6-3. And that's just because they haven't taken they've taken their bye week this week. 49ers at 5-3. Jaguars at 6-2. Right? Outside of that, everybody is 5-3, 5-4. And voice Lions at 6-2. We got some 4-4s, and then we got the Cardinals and the Panthers 1-8 and 1-7. Right? Is this an indicator of some sure-ins into the playoffs? Do we have some guaranteed spots? Ravens, Lions, Chiefs. Can we say that? Is it too early to say that now? Eagles?
No. It's not. Especially with the Lions division, you know, they play the NFC North. And the Vikings just got Josh Dobbs. Yes, they got a win. Come from behind win.
Yeah.
They should be their most formidable opponent. But in the Lions, it was necessary in the beginning of the year to hold down the number one spot in their division.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers are going nowhere fast. They need to draft a quarterback because Jordan Love ain't it. And the Bears, well, you know, they're garbage.
3-7 is rough to... To justify. All right,
yeah,
Mr. Sawyer, we are all out of time. I wish you was in studio today so we could talk about my two favorite sports, running out as the cross country championships are set for November 25th, and water polo under 14 Carifta championships, co-ed on top of it. Girls and boys competing together. It's an exciting weekend of sports. You guys go support the young people. Bahamas Youth Flag Football, BAISS Softball, Volleyball. They're all out there, cross country. They're all out there doing their best. It's our job to show them that we see them, we acknowledge them, and we support them.
Yeah, man, support them.
You guys
if anybody knows where it is, you can find those matches on TV or on the internet. Those are on the Guardian Switch so people can see, man.
Absolutely. But I say always check out ZNS's Facebook pages. Check out the Sports Federation Facebook pages. We got to go, Mr. Sawyer, producer. Play some music for me. Thanks for... And happy belated birthday. I did try to call you, but I see
you. Yeah, man, I was kind of out of it.
You was in Germany watching the Dolphins get beat. For those of us that did not travel in this weekend... go to the University of the Bahamas. Check out The Real Betrayal, a Bahamian movie, November the 11th, 7:30 p.m. You know what The Real Betrayal is, Mr. Sawyer?
I have no idea, but
you keep calling my team the Sardines. You guys have a great day. And no cake. I noticed that. Have a happy, happy day, sir.
Oh, low blow.
You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.